Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Tirza. Welcome to What You Next podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to chat with you. So let's get started. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So yes, my name is Tirza Price. I live in Michigan. I have worked in the past as a bookseller and as a librarian. And right now I am a full-time writer. I write young adult fiction. But then I also work for bookriot.com, which is a cool place where we just, talk about books all the time. So I write I write newsletters and I write articles and content for them, but I also podcast for them as well.
Okay, so tell me all about Book Riot and what podcast you do. And how did you get started with that?
So I started working for them, it was in 2016. So it's been actually, I think next month is my 5-year anniversary with them, which is kind of fun. And I started out just as a regular contributing writer. Anybody can apply to become a contributing writer at Book Riot. And I kind of just, was writing a lot of articles, and then they kind of asked me to do more and more with the site. And so now I'm a contributing editor, and I do a couple of different podcasts, actually. So I am the regular co-host of the Read Harder podcast, which is a bi-weekly podcast where we talk about the Read Harder Challenge recommendations and just kind of talk about reading outside of your comfort zone, which is really fun because I think that it definitely helps me read outside my comfort zone, because my default, is to the things I love. And so this is just like a wonderful challenge. Then I also once a month am on the All the Books podcast, which is our Tuesday weekly new release podcast. Mm-hmm. So once a month I'm on that with Liberty Hardy, and we just shout about the week's new book releases, which is really fun. And then I'm actually for the next couple of months going to be filling in on the Hey YA podcast, which is all about YA books. And I'm very excited about that because YA is definitely my jam.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. So you're a pro at podcasting.
Yes, I do a lot of podcast recording. So it's been especially interesting, during a pandemic to be recording so much from home, but we make it work.
Mm-hmm. So wait, do you record in the studio for the other ones or?
No, all of our podcasters, we record in our own homes, and we have an amazing sound editor, and we have lots of great tips and tricks, but occasionally you may hear some pet noises in the background, just because that's reality, especially now with everybody, still kind of working from home and slowly but not quite yet getting back out into the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. And you were in the SSR podcast. You were with my friend Allie.
So that was so much fun.
Yeah, I love hearing authors. I messaged Allie and I was like, oh, she's gonna be on the show, So it's kind of fun to see cross pollinate, authors showing up in Allie's podcast reading some throwback YA,
Yes. Yeah, we had a lot of fun talking about Caroline B. Cooney, which was, one of my favorite authors as a kid. So I've had a lot of fun chatting with so many different podcasters lately.
Oh, this is so exciting. So let's talk about what sparks joy for you. Is it reading? Is it writing or a combination of
things? Oh, yeah. I mean, I've always been just a huge, huge reader. That's probably not a surprise for many authors and readers on this podcast. But I do love books and I love reading, and I I always am happy if I just have a free afternoon where I can read. And that is what led me to writing, because I just, yeah, I love it so much. Writing does spark joy. It's interesting though, because, you know, once writing becomes more of a job, like, I think it's like any job where, you know, if you love your job, it's great, but like, it's still kind of work. And so, you know, there are going to be times when it's a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot more frustrating, and it's fine, because like, this is like the best job for me. I'm so happy that I get to do it. So, but you know, there it is with its frustrations at times. So I tend to try to balance out, you know, like writing for me is no longer just a purely creative outlet once you kind of move towards publishing, which isn't to say I don't still love it and it still doesn't bring me joy, but I also have had to like get some other creative outlets that are just like purely for me, not for monetization, not for showing anybody else really. So I do like a lot of knitting and a lot of embroidery, especially this last year with being, you know, cooped up inside. Like, embroidery has been my new pandemic hobby.
Oh my gosh, I love this. Yeah, I want to take embroidery, but I'm intimidated by it. My grandmother used to do that. she was really good at it. That's a good meditative skill. And I was like, that sounds like a great idea. But I'm like, it's, I don't know where to start.
It's so fun. So I actually started, like, I'm completely, like, I know how to sew. My grandmother taught me how to sew. So like, I guess that was kind of, you know, a step up in that sense. But I actually started by buying a beginner's kit on Etsy, which is so great, because if you just go and look on Etsy, there are so many, and even off Etsy, there's a lot of different resources for like kits where they have like the fabric with the printed on pattern, and they give you all the floss and they give you a needle and they give you instructions. So like, you really can't mess it up. And that's how I started, and just kind of like grew more and more in confidence. It made me feel like very Regency era as I'm writing my Regency era books and like sitting at home. And my most exciting thing is taking the dog for a long walk. Like, yes, I'm very much living my Jane Austen life during these pandemic times.
I love this. So what inspired you to write YA? Why YA? Was it something you just, you wrote, you're like, I haven't seen my YAs, like, you know, my writing to be look like what I was when I wished when I was growing up, or was it something you just like, this is the jam for me?
I think that once I discovered YA, I was probably in middle school. Like, I don't know. It was like, this is it. This is everything I love. And I kind of joke that I never really grew out of YA. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, I it's true. I never grew out of my love for YA. And I knew that whenever I sat down to write, YA stories were just like what came to mind and what inspired me. I think that writing for young adults is so fascinating because everything is, you know, so immediate and you're experiencing so many things for the first time. But there's so many, you know, different avenues and different perspectives that you can write from in YA. And I also think teens are awesome. I got to work with tons of amazing teens when I was working in libraries, and they are, you know, funny and smart and absolutely gonna save the world. So I really like writing for teens especially. So yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things that like, I guess I didn't really give it a lot of thought. I was just always like, yep, this is it. This is it for me.
I love this. I love this so much. So what has it been like to write in during the pandemic? You know, what's been the process? Has it been harder? Has it been easier? What's been?
I think it's been more difficult. And I'm sure a lot of people feel like that, just because it's hard to write when there's a lot of other stuff going on in the world and, you know, taking up brain space. For me personally too, it's just been hard because my pre-pandemic routine was to get up every morning and go and sit in the corner of my local Panera. Mm-hmm. And just know that like my 3 hours in Panera are for writing only. And I was very, very strict with myself and very focused, where like, I just kind of would sit in my seat in Panera and just like know that like, okay, it's time to write creatively. And I wouldn't get as distracted by other work and other, you know, emails and everything that, you know, needs your attention in a day. And so to lose that was a little bit difficult. I find it very hard to focus at home, although I've definitely had to learn how to focus very quickly. So we started sheltering in place, like just as I finished off revisions for Pride and Premeditation, and I had to start writing my second book, Sense and Second Degree Murder. And so I literally had to meet my deadline, sit down and say, okay, you have to write 1500 words every day. But 1500 words seems like a lot. And it was like too much for me to process. And I would just like get despondent and be like, I can't write 3 words. How can I write 1500? So I would break it down into like 3 different like writing sessions. And I'd be like, okay, you just have to write 500 words. Like 500 words is easy. Just do it. And then I would do it and I'd be like, okay, now I just do it again. And I sort of that way tricked myself into thinking that like, okay, I can do this. I can get through it. And I would write down like my little, you know, session goals on a sticky note, and I would put it right on my laptop, and I forced myself to write. And then I would, to keep myself accountable, before I started, I'd put my goals down on the sticky note, and then I would post that on my Instagram stories. So then like, I have friends who'd be like, did you meet your goal? And, you know, I didn't want to be shamed publicly. So I'd be like, okay, I'm going to do this. And honestly, that is how I got through the majority of my first draft. It was just really tough, but it was also, you know, I think the beginning of the pandemic, where a lot of things were much more uncertain than they are now. And we were all kind of in a weird headspace. So luckily, as the summer wore on, I definitely got more into a routine. And, you know, my partner is also working from home too. So like both of us working in the same house and just kind of figuring each other out in our processes and all of that. So it was a challenge, but I think we're in a better place now. And I'm like really hopeful that, you know, maybe this year yet, but at least sometime soon I can get my Panera writing days back.
I'm looking forward to my Panera writing days too. My Starbucks Panera, just, I don't care. Local coffee shop. I would like to just be surrounded by people, have white noise for me to just like, just write, you know?
Yes. It's so, I know people are always like, how can you write in a coffee shop? How can you write in Panera? You know, it's noisy in here, but it's like, there's like background noise. It kind of fades to the back for me, but what's beautiful about it is it's not home, because if I'm at home, I'm like, oh, I could be doing dishes. Oh, I could throw a load of laundry in. Oh, let me go over here. Or like my cat's in my face. And so I get so much more writing done when I'm outside of the house. But I guess I'm happy that the pandemic has taught me that when push comes to shove, I can write an entire novel at home with a cat in my face.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So let's chat about Pride and Premeditation. So what is the elevator pitch?
The elevator pitch is Pride and Premeditation is a murder mystery retelling of Pride and Prejudice by way of Agatha Christie. And I feel like that kind of sells it right there. People are usually like, huh, because you don't really see murder mystery retellings of Austen. But the slightly longer pitch is that Lizzie Bennet is an aspiring barrister. She wants to practice law, but she has to prove that she has what it takes. And so she decides to do that by solving a murder case. And so she has to prove that Mr. Bingley is innocent, but of course, Mr. Bingley has already employed legal counsel, and that legal counsel is the haughty Mr. Darcy. So they have to work against, but also then work with each other to solve this mystery.
So what inspired you to write a murder mystery retelling Pride and Prejudice?
I have always loved like historical fiction, and just that was like probably my first genre love. And I really enjoy Austen. And I reread Pride and Prejudice a few years ago. And I think at that time, it was probably the third or fourth time I'd read it in my lifetime. And for the first time, it like truly delighted me. Like I'd enjoyed it before, but like, I don't know, I just, something clicked and I could like see the humor. I could see the satire and I just really enjoyed it. So then on the flip side, I've also, since I've become an adult, really liked mysteries. And the last few years, especially, I've just really dived into all types of mysteries. And so throwing the two together seems kind of off the wall, but I don't know how else to say it, except for Lizzie's voice just kind of spoke to me. And, you know, it's not Elizabeth Bennet, like Jane Austen's Bennet, but it is a version of her that is also a version that's completely my own, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. And she just, you know, wouldn't shut up. And it's very odd because I've heard writers talk about writing in this kind of way before, of like the character just came to me and they spoke to me and their voice was so easy and they just wouldn't stop talking. And I had never experienced that before. So I was kind of like, yeah, okay, sure. I'm sure that happened, but like that's never been my experience with writing until this book. And then like I, you know, had written 50 pages and I was like, oh my goodness. Like I hope this goes somewhere because I want to see it to the end. And yeah, it was a lot of fun writing.
It was a lot of fun reading.
Oh, thank you.
I read a lot of Pride and Prejudice. Like, I like Pride and Prejudice. I don't love it. It's not like my whole world. I love Emma, like out of the whole Jane Austen. But I read a lot of retelling. So you get to a point where you're like, okay, like you're like, okay, what's Feeny? What's Spark? And I felt that the whole murder mystery was like so unique. I was like, oh my God, like it's not romance. It's like, it's just a murder mystery. Like the voice was so fresh and it was just like so interesting. It was like, it's a fresh new voice of the retelling. So.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. It's funny because I also love retellings a lot and I've tried to write a lot of them. Mm-hmm. Just like in the last, I would say like 7 or 8 years, I've tried to write like maybe 3 or 4 retellings and they never go anywhere. And I just, you know, I don't know what it is. It's just, I couldn't like figure them out or I couldn't get them past like those first 10,000 words. But with this book, I think what did it for me was like the idea of a murder mystery retelling of Pride and Prejudice was so off the wall that I didn't feel this like desire to like stick very, very closely to the source material, where I think before I had kind of felt like, oh, I can't deviate too much. But this time around, it was just kind of like, well, if I'm going to write a murder mystery retelling, I might as well just have fun with it and do whatever I want. And I think that is really what got me through the draft, where in the past I just hadn't been able to write retellings.
All of this. And so Agatha Christie, are you an Agatha Christie fan? And if so, what are some of your, because she has an extensive backlist. So what would be some of your favorite books that you can tell overwhelmed by her backlist, you know?
Yeah. And you know, it's so funny because like, I feel like I have probably only read a fraction of Christie. Like I know that, I know some people who've like read everything she's ever written, which is so impressive to me because she was so prolific. Mm-hmm. But I would say like my favorite dark Christie, because she can have like a little bit of a range. My favorite dark Christie is probably Crooked House, because that one genuinely surprised me when I read it. I was not expecting it to go where it went. But I love the Tommy and Tuppence series, which I don't know if you've read those. They're like right after World War I, and basically Tommy and Tuppence are two people who worked for the war effort, but like now they're out of a job because the war is over. And it's especially hard for Tuppence because she's a woman. And they decide to put an ad in the newspaper to be like, we're adventurers and investigators, hire us. And people do. And they have, you know, just this really great relationship and really great banter. And so I would say that like that Agatha Christie was probably like that was kind of like the vibe I was going for when I thought of Agatha Christie and Pride and Premeditation.
I love this. So what has been a book that you read this past year or last year that you can't stop gushing about, you can't stop thinking about?
So one book that I have read like really recently, actually, that probably a lot of people are talking about is Firekeeper's Daughter by Angeline Bully. which just hit the New York Times bestseller list. It, you know, came out just last week, but, or yeah, it was like a week or two ago. Mm-hmm. And I read an early copy and I loved it. It's set in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, and it is about a teenage girl who is biracial. Half of her family lives in Sault Ste. Marie. Half of her family lives in the nearby reservation. And she is pulled into this investigation when she witnesses a murder. And I was completely just entranced by this book. And, you know, I love mysteries, so I was very excited to read it. But the other really amazing book that has like stuck with me just because it has like a literal cliffhanger ending is The Initial Insult by Mindy McGinnis, which is another retelling. It is a retelling of The Cask of Amontillado by Edgar Allan Poe, but it's set in like rural Ohio. And it is kind of dark, kind of twisty. It's a thriller. There's going to be a second book. I think it's a duology, but yeah, she leaves you hanging. And I finished that book and I was like, wait a second, that can't be it. But we have to wait. So I'm going to try to very patiently, but probably very impatiently wait until next year when the next book comes out. So that's just, you know, two that I've loved lately, but I've read a lot of books lately that I just adore. I could probably talk for another hour about that.
I love this. And what are you working next? You mentioned the second book. So is it another retelling?
Yes. Yes. So the second book is actually the second book in the Jane Austen murder mysteries series. And it is Sense and Second Degree Murder. And it is about Eleanor and Marianne Dashwood and what happens when they suspect foul play when their father dies. So I am just now wrapping up a round of revision on that one. And that should be out sometime next year. I think sometime in the spring, hopefully. And then after that, I have book three of Jane Austen murder mysteries, which will be Manslaughter Park.
Oh my gosh, I love this so much. Now that you wait, now I'm like, I have books to wait, and I'll be begging your promises. You'll be like, okay, can she come back?
I will come back. Okay, so perfect. Happy to do so.
Yeah, awesome. So tell us where you can find you online.
I mostly hang out on Instagram. My handle is at Tears of Price, and it's TIRZAHPRICE. But I also hang out on Twitter as well. So if you follow me on Instagram, you'll get like lots of book pics and like also lots of pictures of my two orange cats who are menaces, but they're adorable.
Oh, I love this. Thank you, Tirza, for being in the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share it with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. The What You Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.